ministry also. We're doing Jesus the Game Changer. It's a focus across the church as a whole. And to see that room full of year five to grade 5 to 7 year olds, a grade 5 to 7 age group, not 5 to 7 year olds, they're further out the back. But to see that room full, and to see them engaging with Jesus the Game Changer as well as us in here. And I join in echoing what Paul and Scott have already highlighted about the life and ministry of Billy Graham. Certainly impacted my family. My grandparents' lives were turned around by Billy Graham and influenced my life and ministry. One of the most significant weeks of my life and ministry was an opportunity to be a part 18 years ago of the Billy Graham Worldwide Conference. And we honour his life and witness over many years. Dusty Martin, changing tack totally. Paddy Dangerfield, Buddy Franklin. Even if you're not an AFL follower, you've probably heard of them. Why? Because they're not just any players. They're ones who can change a game almost, you could say, single-handedly. They stand out from anyone else on a football field. But then as we think of history, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, Martin Luther King, Steve Jobs, getting closer to our day and age, Mark Zuckerberg. You'll probably have heard of many of these, if not all of them too, along with many others. Why? Because in one way or another, they changed the landscape of life in this world. The Wright brothers changed the way we travel. They invented the aeroplane. Pioneers in that. Neil Armstrong was the first person to walk on the moon. Space travel like never before when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Martin Luther King was the person who changed the landscape of racial relationships and civil rights as a result of his life and what he stood for and what he did. Steve Jobs started Apple. And what a revolution Apple, in as a part of the technological revolution, has brought about in such a way that Apple is so significant on the landscape of today across the world. And Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook. All of these people, and many more in some ways, who were game changers, who stand out because the world was not quite the same after them. As we heard earlier on the preview clip, and as many of us who, and if you're a part of a small group, you will have reflected on already across this week, Jesus is the greatest game changer of all across history. As much impact as those I've mentioned or others have had on life in this world, no one has had more impact than Jesus of Nazareth. What is it about Jesus? What is it about his life and his teachings that make him the most influential person across human history, who is still influencing people's lives even a couple of thousand years on from when he lived, from when he walked on this earth? Now, I don't know what image you might have of Jesus, but often the image people can have of Jesus can be different to who he really is and what he's really like. And it seems to me that increasingly in our times and in our culture, Jesus is either sanitized or he's spoken about in ways that don't reflect the real Jesus and the reality of his influence across so much of life and history as we know it. Across these next 6 weeks, we want to strip back the clutter and create some space and time to come to discover or rediscover the real Jesus, Jesus the game changer, in history, in our world, and in our lives. I'm going to bookend the series. I'm obviously speaking today, but you won't actually hear me speak for the next few weeks. Pastor Andy will speak next week, but in between you'll hear from some others as well. Not simply from us as your pastors, but you're going to hear from some people just like you. You're going to hear from Karen Latton. You're going to hear from Rob Jarvis. You're going to hear from Jill Hannon about different aspects of Jesus the game changer. But today we begin with Jesus and what it is about Jesus that is so different to everyone else who has ever lived. It starts with his life. How do we even know about Jesus' life? Largely from the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, who were eyewitnesses to what Jesus did and what Jesus said. And they saw firsthand who Jesus was and what Jesus did. And they considered Jesus to be such a remarkable person that they not only wrote about his life, but they passed it on to others like Paul. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as was read to us earlier, Paul says, "For what I received..." So Paul had received it, it had been passed on to him by others, and then he says, "I passed it on to you as of first importance." So there's this ripple effect, even in the early years, of ripple effect of the remarkable impact of Jesus. Jesus was a real person who lived in real places in history. And even well-known historians who were not followers of Jesus, people like Tacitus and Josephus and Pliny, when they recorded the events of their times, the significant events of their times for historical records, and remember, they were not followers of Jesus, even they make reference to the remarkable life of Jesus. Jesus' life is not some account that someone made up. It is anchored in history. And when you take a closer look at the life of Jesus, what you discover is that his life is like no one else who has ever lived. Peter says this of Jesus in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, when speaking to people and being asked about this Jesus and his followers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, this is how Peter puts it. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." And Matthew, as I said, the life and teachings of Jesus recorded by in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, in chapter 16, verse 16, when Jesus says to him, "What about you?" Matthew is describing what others say Jesus is like and who they think he is. Jesus says, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Many people think that Jesus was just a good moral teacher, and he was a good moral teacher. Many people are aware that Jesus was able to do miraculous things, as we heard about, but Jesus was much, much more than a good moral teacher and someone who was able to do miraculous things. Jesus is the only person who has ever lived that has lived a perfect life, one free from sin in any shape or form, and that is remarkable. The miracles Jesus did are remarkable. The teachings that Jesus taught are remarkable. But the fact that Jesus was able to live a perfect life, untainted by sin in any shape or form, is truly remarkable. As I think of my own life, and as you think of yours, undoubtedly, we all have flaws. We all have aspects that we know ourselves. In an attitude or an action, we have blown it. But Jesus lived this perfect life. Hebrews describes it to us, the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, where it says, describing Jesus, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." So he understands our weaknesses because he's lived life as one of us. "But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." Jesus, that's a game changer. But so is the way that Jesus redefined changing the world. We all want to make a difference in this world. And people, it's part of human nature to seek to be a game changer in various ways. But Jesus totally redefined what it meant to change the world. Others around him, and even his own followers, expected Jesus to change the world economically or politically or militarily. There's probably not such a word, but to change the world by force or by might, as the Romans and others in Jesus' time were doing. But instead, Jesus' way to change the world would be by love. Jesus, a totally radical, unbelievably different way to make a difference in the world, through love. Not by getting the economics right, not by rule or reign politically, not by influence in any of those areas, or by forcing people in a way that they didn't naturally want to be led. But his way would be the way of love. Jesus didn't just bring another set of moral rules with do's and don'ts, that was already there in the law, as Andy spoke about last week. Jesus didn't just tweak what was there, but Jesus brought a whole new way. A way that his life modeled. A way that was characterized by love and grace. Love your enemies. What? Love your enemies? Unheard of in his day and time and previously and still today. Look out for others. Learn what it means to be a servant. Let mercy, not the letter of the law, feature. Live in right relationship with God and others. These things made Jesus a game changer, totally, totally different. He didn't just change the rules of the game, he changed the game altogether in his time and still today. His life makes Jesus so different to everyone else who has ever lived. But so does his death. What about his death? Well, Paul says here in verse 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Christ died for our sins. Jesus' death was a game changer in that he died for our sins. He made possible a right relationship with God once more. As Andy said last week, atoning for our sins, or through his death on the cross, making us at one with God like never before. And when we look back on history and even our own generation, if you don't want to go quite so far back in history, everyone who has lived before us has also died. Everyone who's lived before us has died. And in the Roman world of the time, death was a part of life. If everyone died, but the kind of death that Jesus died, the death of crucifixion, that was not unique. Others, as awful as it was, every day people were crucified in Roman times. There were many others who also died terrible deaths like Jesus did. And as a death, as awful as it was not unique. But what was unique was what it signified. Let me use another event in history to help make the point. Before Jesus, back in 49 BC, Julius Caesar, a well-known name in history, Julius Caesar crossed the bridge of a small river with his soldiers. That river was the Rubicon River. It was an important frontier within the Roman Empire. And as you and I both know, Plenty of rivers have been crossed by plenty of people in history. I've crossed rivers. We've all crossed rivers, possibly. And down through history, that the crossing of a river in and of itself is not unique. But what was remarkable about this crossing of the river was what it signified. On Julius Caesar's part, it was a declaration of war against the rule of Rome. It was a remarkable thing that he did, to cross that river with his soldiers and declare war against the rule of Rome. But when Jesus died on the cross, he declared war on the rule of sin and death over us. Jesus' death signified the bringing in of a new and living way for people, a bridge to life like never before, where our sin would be dealt with once and for all, and salvation would be possible and forgiveness. Jesus' life, different to anyone else who's ever lived. His death, different to anyone else who's ever lived. But what really makes Jesus a game changer like no other was what came 3 days after his death, his resurrection. Paul says this as we read on in verse 4, that he was buried, he was raised. This is of first importance, he's saying. He was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, some of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. I've used this illustration before, but in the game of chess, the decisive move is checkmate. If you get someone checkmating in chess, it's game over. Or no matter what other move someone might want to make, it's game over. Just like checkmate in the game of chess, Jesus' resurrection was checkmate to death. Game over. Death has been conquered, which no one before or since Jesus has been able to do. Houdini wasn't able to do it, the great escape artist, no one else. Not anyone or anything else. Once Jesus stepped out of that tomb, as Paul puts it later in this chapter, death has been swallowed up in victory. You fast forward to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul says in verse 54, the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And because of that, because of Jesus' resurrection, we do not need to fear death. We do not need to face death alone. The resurrection of Jesus was a game-changing event. It was for Jesus' first followers. When they came to discover the risen Jesus for themselves, they were transformed. They were transformed from being despairing and fearful and hesitant and doubtful to being bold and courageous and certain and full of hope, to the point where they were prepared to stake their lives on Jesus' resurrection. And even though the resurrection of Jesus has been questioned by many over the years and still today, and may seem to some like a stumbling block, it may seem to some, and maybe even to you, a piece in the puzzle of life that just cannot possibly be there. It is. And more than that, it's the piece that everything else stands or falls on. If you take it out, just like in a game of Jenga, and if you know the game of Jenga, the blocks are all up on each other and you have to take them out one at a time. And if you take the resurrection of Jesus out, just like in the game of Jenga, if you take that piece out, all the rest will come tumbling down. Paul says that here in 1 Corinthians. In verse 14, if I read just a couple of those verses to you, he says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, just a few verses on in verse 17, he says it again, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. It's a game changer. The resurrection of Jesus is not an embellished memory that a few of his followers had, as some people will claim that it was. But as Paul puts it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, going back to those earlier verses, he was seen alive by many, many people. It was a game-changing event in history. And many over the years have tried to disprove the resurrection of Jesus, but none have been able to. And indeed, many who have tried to have come to the place of accepting it as credible and actually anchoring their lives around it. Jesus is a game changer because of his life, his death, his resurrection, but most importantly, because of the change he brings about in people's lives. Jesus changed my life. As a university student, I'd known all about the Christian faith. As a young person, I understood a reasonable part of it. But when I went to university, I explored all kinds of other value systems and all kinds of other ways of life. I explored them all, and I came back to the point of realizing Jesus is a game changer, And this is what I'm going to stake my life on. And so Jesus changed my life. And he changed Paul's, as we read in verses 9 to 10 here, and as you heard on that preview clip from Carl earlier. Verse 9 to 10, Paul says, "I'm the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." It's hard to sometimes fully take in the difference that took place, the change that Jesus made in Paul's life when we look back on it in history. Here was someone who opposed, as Carl touched on earlier, here was someone who opposed Jesus and his followers as much as anyone possibly could. I'm going to use the modern-day example. It's not exactly the same, but the modern-day, probably the modern-day closest equivalent would be ISIS. They threaten, they persecute, they seek to kill Christians. That's exactly what Saul was doing. That's exactly who this man was. He was followers of Jesus were in fear of Saul, but on his way to imprison more of them in Damascus. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 9. Let me just give you a little summary of it, for reading some of those verses in Acts chapter 9 of what took place. In Acts chapter 9, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," that was followers of Jesus, "whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" And then it goes through the verses after, describe what happens. And I'll fast forward to verse 21 and 22, when it tells us about the result afterwards. "Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God." It totally flipped around to the and all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who created havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus totally changed his life, totally changed his perspective. His name would change from Saul to Paul, but more significantly, the direction of his life was changed from being the total opposite of a Jesus follower, about as anti of Jesus follower as you could get, to being one of the most significant Jesus followers of all, who would write much of the New Testament and who would share the game-changing message of Jesus with many, many people across the Roman and Greek world of the time. Jesus, though, changes the world one person at a time. And what I want to leave you with this morning is to ask the question, have your eyes been opened to recognize Jesus for who he really is? Not for the image that you might have of him, but have you discovered who he really is? Like Paul's eyes were opened, like mine were, like some of the early followers of Jesus were, as it's described in Luke chapter 24 at the end of Luke's gospel. We read this of some journeying on the road with Jesus, and in verse 31 it says to us, and I'll just find the verse 31, where it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So wherever you're at in your life and faith, which could be anywhere from being a skeptic to being someone who's got a strong faith, or anywhere in between, wherever you're at over these weeks ahead, I invite you to join with us in taking a closer look at the life and teachings of the real Jesus, and see what you discover along the way. Take a closer look. Don't have a closed book. Many people have a closed book attitude to the real Jesus. They say, I know all about Jesus. I know all about who he is and what he's like. Well, we should not have a closed book attitude. We should have a closer look and make sure that we understand who the real Jesus really is and the true impact of his life and teachings, not only down through history, but on our lives still today. So let me pray, and we look forward to what the difference Jesus makes in our lives in an ongoing way. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray for each one of us today and over these weeks ahead. I pray that you would take us on a journey, that we would be open to look closely at Jesus, his life and teachings and influence across history and society in so many ways, and his uniqueness. I pray that none of us would say, yeah, I know all there is to know about Jesus, that we would not have a closed book approach, but that we would come to discover more about the impact of Jesus in our lives still today, as he had impact thousands of years ago also. We weren't on earth when Jesus walked on earth and lived on earth, but we thank you for those who witnessed him firsthand and his work and wrote that down, and how that helps us discover more about his life and death, its significance and the way of love that he redefined the way to make a difference in this world. The way that he defeated the power of sin and death over us through the resurrection, and how our life too can be changed in its direction by Jesus. So I pray that, God, that you'd be at work afresh in our lives today and over these weeks ahead as we open ourselves up to all that you might want to say or show us. And we pray this in and through the life-changing name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our final song in response.